either is it something that any other citizen of this country would want? And so we have to find a solution around it.
Talking about solutions, as a vice president, has Dr. Bawumia himself been directly involved in trying to find this solution?
Well, government has been engaging, so I don't know what you mean by directly. Government has been engaging, so I want to understand what you mean by directly.
Directly asking in his capacity of vice president, has he been involved
in having... As a vice president, there are state institutions and there are leadership in government. And so whatever action that government takes, the vice president is directly part of it.
Yes, I mean, considering that he stands to lose the most in this particular matter.
It's not just our elections, Evans. I don't think you are telling us that whatever the organized labor is doing is because there is an election. I think they are doing it from a genuine background. They are doing it genuinely because they are concerned about certain things that they believe is working to the detriment of the state. So let's not make it an election matter. The vice president is part of a government. Government is taking action and working with organized labor in dealing with this. The vice president being a candidate doesn't or cannot jump into the fray because he's going for an election. And it's not an issue of who loses. The biggest loser in this is the state. If you shut down the country and the country is completely destroyed even before the elections, the vice president losing or winning an election is just an individual loss. But how does it benefit organized labor when the entire country is on its knees? So I don't think we should make this an election matter. Unless, of course, you are telling me that all of these that are going on is because of an election, which I doubt. I think organized labor have raised some genuine concerns, and those are things that must be looked at devoid of partisanship and elections. It is a country and a state matter that we are discussing. I think we should keep our eyes on those critical things.
For instance, the coalition have written directly to him, asking him to sign a pact to end illegal mining. That's why I asked that question. Has he seen that letter to him, and will he sign the pact?
The vice president's commitment towards ending illegal mining is without doubt. He's been in the past 6 months, he's been in the mining areas more than all the other candidates. And his position on illegal mining is very, 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 very clear. He stated it countlessly. And he's raised specific ways that he believes that based on all the efforts we have made and tried since 2010 as a country, what has worked, what hasn't worked. And based on all of these, he's itemized specifically systems, processes, and structures he believes could be another way of we as a country pursuing in ending this illegal mining canker, this criminality. And so he is ready and willing to sign whatever pact, because he's already shown that commitment in everything he's been doing so far. So that's not a problem at all.
Dr. Sege, music to your ears.
Well, definitely this is music, but I just want to tell my brother Miracle that there's nothing more at stake than the lives of everybody. And, you know, when you get to a situation when there's such desperation, where you are being poisoned, where you have, in August, go back and look at the trend. August, you have, 14,000 NTUs instead of 5 NTU stability. That is the level of the crisis. And I completely agree with you. This has nothing to do with the next election. It has all to do with today's generation and the next generation. So I'm happy that the president is ready, the vice president, and then the former president. His statement, I didn't hear him state categorically that. You know, but I'm happy that we're going to get that, because the actions that His Excellency the President would have to take, and to borrow the words of the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, will be draconian. But you see, the point about it is that when it comes to the water bodies, that one is a law. There's no ban there. It's just about enforcing the law that we have refused to do. Because you stand on the bridges, you can see the chamfans in the water bodies. You see people manufacturing the chamfans and all. So it's just about, it is in the forest reserves. And again, in the forest reserves, there's no small-scale miner in there. We're asking that those be revoked, because that's where our waters take their sources for. And Miracle, please, when it comes to our lives, I'm not too sure that, you know, there can be any negotiation about saving us from poisoning, about saving us from renal diseases, you know. So there can be nothing, we cannot put any issue of profits or jobs against people who are dying and people who are doing an illegality. So I'm happy to hear that His Excellency the Vice President is ready to sign this pact and commit himself. And then we would need the former president also committing to that, so that after the 7th, whoever wins would also continue whatever actions that His Excellency the President would have to take now. Because it's going to take us more than 3 months. It's going to take us years to be able to restore this back. And it would mean that we, all of us as a country, would have to be united against one singular purpose of saving ourselves from damnation. And I'm happy to hear that His Excellency the Vice President will do that. And I'm hoping that His Excellency the former President will also do that, so that we can have them on record, not only on something they've written, but their voices, so that we can give them to all of you journalists. So you play it, so that we don't have anybody go and stand in Accra, in Kumasi, in Takrady, and tell us that they agree to the fight, the measures that the President is taking. And then they will go and stand in the pits. You know, and then go and be telling people that they'll form WhatsApp groups, or tell people that when they come back, they will let them come and, you know, get back into the illegality. I am really happy, and it's a very important part of what the Media Coalition has asked for. And it's also one of the points that the organized labor has also added to their demands of our two political parties.
And talking about that, we heard from John Dramani Mahama today, and I played that clip when he met the clergy. Did you hear him speak to any of the six things you, together with organized labor, put before the government?
So I think he had mentioned the fact that they would deal, there's an advert that he used with illegal mining.
He said ban new mining.
I didn't hear him speak directly.
The part that came close was ban new mining leases. And
I didn't hear him talk about the four points we had raised, which is the same as organized labor has raised. But maybe you would excuse him because it depended on the question that he was being asked. You know, so I'm sure if you had the same way Miracle has been able to respond to your question that you asked specifically now, maybe if we get an opportunity where you are asking that question again, maybe we would get a response from you. But it is important that from both parties we get their, you know, unequivocal, support for these draconian measures that would get us people out of the water bodies and also from the forest reserves.
Thank you very much. Yes, Miracles.
Evans, I think that, to be very honest with you, let me put this on record, and that's not even to flatter Mr. Kanashwe at all, but you know the conversation we've been having in the past weeks about Galamsey, I must admit that he's the first person I've heard really make the case for a solution to this canker without necessarily turning the eye to the other side. He's been quite straightforward, he's been quite balanced, and I think that if we should keep the conversation that way, we'll make a lot of progress. Again, it brings me to the point I made earlier, that dialogue can never ever be out of the conversation, because even some of the demands and some of the things that, for example, organized labor is asking for, one would easily ask a question, how new are some of these things in terms of the country pursuing that cause to fix this illegality? You asked for a ban on small-scale mining. You recall that somewhere in 2018, thereabout, there was a ban on small-scale mining. In fact, there was a ban on small-scale mining for about a year and a half. And so the first question that anybody would ask is, did that solve Galamsey? And if it did, why are we still here? So these are some of the conversations that, even though organized labor have put into their demands, government would have to sit down with them and say, do we really think this is a solution to this? How about we try this? Okay, we're saying that this, your proposition could work. Let's work together and implement it. And for me, those are the conversations that would be happening and should be happening in the next few days. I think that we should all keep a very open mind. We should all keep that very balanced mindset that we are trying to fix something that has to do with criminality, people who are working under the cover of darkness, or with sometimes even social protection. And so it is a canker, it is an addiction. Any crime that we can think of can be equaled to Galamsey, even worse because of the damage that it's causing to all of us as a people. But if we keep this kind of open-mindedness and balance in our conversation, like I'm hearing from Mr. Kanachigwe, trust me, we should be able to make some very, very, very quick headway in getting ourselves out of these things. But like I said, a lot of things have been tried since 2010, including systems, strategies by the former president who is speaking now. During his tenure, he tried several ways to fight Galamsey. He could not succeed. We've also tried several ways since 2017, and we are still here. Shall we all put politics and partisanship aside, sit down around the table and say, what are the other ways we can use to fight this? If we think you are making a proposition that has been tried before, shall we just go and look into the books and see how that worked and how it didn't work, so that we can take it out and move to the new ways of dealing with this matter? I think that is how we should sincerely look at this conversation. But Galamsey is a crime, just like armed robbery. Even though there is a police everywhere in this country, you still have robbery happening. And so we need to find ways to really deal with this matter without making it a political issue.
Thank you, Miracles. Grateful that you join us. Dr. Kanachigwe, I'm grateful too. And if you're just joining us, that major decision announced by organized labor is what is dominating the headlines tonight. They've declared an indefinite nationwide strike in 9 days, starting on the 10th of October. And in fact, it will include the private sector too, because as you've heard there, the convener of the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, they are mobilizing their own sector. He himself is the chief executive of the telecoms chamber. He says from the 10th, once the chamber will take a decision, they will lock up their offices. And so when you get there, you don't expect to see that office open, because they will be on strike. He expects you to be on strike too. and how the GJA implements that, he says, will be decided and communicated in due course. You're still listening to Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7. If I want to take you now to the Electoral Commission, where something really significant happened today.
Indeed, Evans. The opposition National Democratic Congress is left standing alone, with only the Progressive People's Party backing its calls for a forensic audit of the voters' register and IT systems of the Electoral Commission. 8 registered political parties, including the governing MPP, have all been given thumbs up to the EC after it announced measures it has taken to resolve discrepancies in the voters' register ahead of the crucial 2024 election. It will be recalled that following the admission by the EC that its officers had allegedly illegally transferred votes in Pusiga, the NDC claimed to have identified even more discrepancies to anchor their demand for a forensic audit. In a historic IPAC meeting broadcast live today, Evans, the EC announced raft measures it has taken to clean up the register. Let's listen to Dr. Yawo Foreje of the EC's IC department announce how it fixed some of the challenges identified with the register.
In our minds, we can't see how you can delete somebody by transferring them, because transfers are allowed. So you can't delete somebody by transferring them. I also like to say that the way the voter management system is designed, and indeed ABIS, once you get registered onto the system, we went on further and looked at the transaction history of the particular voter within a database. By 2020, at 10:19 a.m., at the True Vine Preparatory School, JHS, near Boyman, with polling station number C150704. This gentleman, on the 22nd of October 2020, at 4:35 p.m., registered for special voting and was moved to the Achimota College Police Station, C1502 SPS. That is a special polling station that he registered for. They also gave us 5 voter IDs that they claim had been deleted from the register. So fortunately, the voter IDs were there, so we could search for them. So that's exactly what we did. We searched for them. And so these are the alleged voter IDs. These people, we don't have a record of them having been transferred. And you know why we don't have a record of them having ever been transferred? Because in order for you to be transferred, you have to be a valid voter. If you are not a valid voter, remember the processes that I described to you. You have to go to the polling, to their registration center, be verified biometrically before the transfer can occur. If you don't do that, the transfer doesn't occur. Okay? Now, these individuals that they listed as having been deleted by transfer. There's no record of a transfer for them. What we found out was that these individuals had corrupt biometrics, so they were never in the register in the first place. And therefore, how do they get transferred? About 15,000 unidentified transfer parts. Once again, we are not clear what is meant by an unidentified transfer path, because all the transfers are documented. It's not the commission's business to understand why somebody wants to transfer their vote, for so long as they are doing it in the proper way. So we do not understand what is meant by unidentified transfer path.
Well, Kwikwo Asante of our political deck sat through this historic IPAC meeting and joins us in the studio with more. Kwikwo, the EC admitted that indeed some of the concerns raised by the NDC is actually legitimate. Tell us more about that.
So there are two main ones that the EC is admitting that, listen, these are very germane issues that the NDC actually brought to the attention that it fixed. The first one has to do with Pusiga. The Electoral Commission has assured that that has been fixed, and in fact it is taking certain decisions with its entire system to ensure that it does not recur. In fact, Dr. Eweji admits that once it happened in Pusiga, it's very possible it will happen somewhere, and so they are trying to fix that. There's a second decision, the second one having to do with missing persons on the register, persons who are holding ID cards but whose names are not on the register. The EC says they are trying to reach these persons and include them back into the register. But for those they are unable to actually reach by 7 December, they're actually going to create a missing list so that when you go to the polling station and you check the register and your name is not there, they can check the missing list and you'll be there. Dr. Yaoje again.
Transfers that occurred at Pusiga. These were reported to us by the regional director that 38 voters had been illegally transferred from Pusiga. And as I have said, this occurred because the Electoral Commission's own staff took advantage of a vulnerability that was in the system. And that vulnerability was the absence of a liveliness check. And so him, as the narrative goes, in collusion with some other people, used the voter ID card, the picture on the voter ID card, to verify the individuals and do a transfer. We've also now implemented the liveliness check on our voter verification devices, our biometric verification. Day, you can't take somebody's picture, use the DVD to do verification, because now that is firmly built into the DVD as well. So we have plugged that hole. Subsequent to that, all those transfers that have been done have been reversed. So all those transfers that were done illegally have been reversed, and the perpetrators have been dismissed by the commission, and the police continues their investigation into the matter. We have not taken this matter lightly, and so we have not taken this matter lightly at all, because once again, if it's happened somewhere, it is possible that it has happened elsewhere, and therefore we've engaged our service providers and we are developing tools once again that will go through the system thoroughly.
Well, there you have it, the EC admitting that some of the concerns raised by the NDC is actually legitimate. Kwikwo, the political parties, they officially announced their position today at that meeting. Tell us.
So there were about 12 registered political parties at this meeting today. And in fact, there are about 12 registered political parties today at this meeting, and 10 of them actually officially spoke. We now know that officially 8 registered political parties are against the NDC's call for a forensic audit. Let me run through these political parties. There is the NDP, there is the Ghana Union Movement, there is CPP, there is GFP, that is a Kwiatkong call, there is the PNC, there is APC, there is NPP, there is LPG. All these 8 political parties are against the NDC's call for a forensic audit. Let's listen to some of them, in particular those who actually spoke at this event and vented out their spleen against the NDC's position: PNC, APC, CPP, and the NDP.
There's no problem asking for a forensic audit. But the problem here is that we are only holding a provisional voter register, and that allows for correction and allows for updates, and that allow us to make suggestions like we are doing now until we get to the final register. It is when we have the final register, then we have problems with it. Of course, we will all agree that, yes, we will not go to the election until these problems are resolved. Whether it's coming from the NDC, it's coming from the MPP, it's coming from the APC or any other party. Because we are all part of this game called elections. And we must admit that listening to them today, I mean, I'm convinced that they are doing their best. And I'm also convinced that the NDC is convinced that listening to them today, there have been new changes and new development from where it was until today.
Is there any law that makes it illegal for the independent audit to be made? If there is none, then my submission is that I feel that an independent audit will rather boost the credibility and image of the voter register. Because just imagine if an independent auditor comes and says, well, the register is 100% clean. That one, it is not the EC saying it. Because what Dr. Ufori said, I mean, the presentation is nice, but it is the EC speaking. So now that there are issues of mistrust and all that has happened, if an independent person comes and confirms that it is clean, I think it will boost the credibility and the trust that we all have. So that is a comment I want you to consider as well.
Madam Chair, and your deputies, I think if I walk out, I will now walk out with broad chest and say the EC has opened for transparency. I know our brothers from the MPP and NDC will also speak to their issues, but this engagement alone will really bring confidence to the institution, will really show that you and your team has agreed to over 30 million calls. Those, if you have done this meeting without television, radio, Ghanaians wouldn't have known whether who's speaking the truth and who's not speaking the truth. I therefore, on behalf of my party, we are very grateful for this opportunity given to us.
We all got very alarmed when we heard the NDC coming out with all these figures. And the figures, in our view, were so huge. But quickly, we realized that the CI already has a self-cleansing mechanism embedded in it. And that mechanism, when you go through the mechanism, you realize that it becomes then very difficult that errors will not be corrected at the provisional stage. So after the giving out of the register at the exhibition, we assume that all these errors are supposed to be corrected. And when you go through the proceedings from CI 25 to 27, it is explicit there how these errors can be detected and corrected. I must also admit the frankness of the EC. Where you got it wrong, you admitted that you were wrong and you did your checks and you have corrected it. This is what we want to see. As major stakeholders, we are happy.
Quick, let's talk about Ekia Donkor. She backed the EC, but Costa Bistoff is there today. Tell us more about that.
Well, yes, Ekia Donkor really did steal the show today. She spoke first in the local language, and we've translated it in what we're about to play. She actually accused the NDC of lying to tarnish the reputation of Madam Jane Mensah.
What the book ya? Ya the challenge in that can hold the fire can hold. So be a when ya if you don't watch it, ya enjoy. We be a when ya gonna leave, ya enjoy. And then I'm ahead of us.
We thank God that since she became the EC chair, the NDC has continuously challenged her, even setting traps and taking her to court when the commission was about to begin the voter registration exercise. Yet, they were disgraced. Despite all of this, the EC invited everyone to send representatives to the most recent registration. And I did. Everything went smoothly. So why do you keep harassing her?
When you say you're going to buy, when you're going to buy, 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 you're
Don't you realize it is God who placed her in that position? No matter what you do, you will not succeed. I pray for her to remain strong and resolute. I commend the entire EC team. Those claiming names are missing are lying. Why are you doing this? Well, Kweku, you're still in the studio. Quite an interesting sound we heard from Ikia Donko. Before the IPAC meeting ended, though, the EC boss was clear that the EC had nothing to hide.
Well, yeah, before we hear from Madame Jean Mensah, listen to Dr. Dodomani Boama, who first, of course, I mean, actually accept that the Electoral Commission has done some good work around the register, but again, they want to see more done.
We are here looking at the evidence that we presented. And we are glad that the EC has accepted 3 out of 5. And where they don't even accept, they try to explain. And that is one of the reasons it is not strategic to provide the Electoral Commission with a full gamut of what we have. And I will explain. And as for the day at the EC corporate office, why were we not told that Ernest Ofori had effected a transfer and all the details that we are being given? There is the need for a forensic audit of not just the register, which is being fixed. Why not? And I commend the EC. The EC says that after they have fixed all, and I thought the submissions of the EC on air, we have heard several times, they had already corrected all the things. Go online. You find out that NDC issues have been fixed. But we do admit, we don't want to be linguistic purists. We do admit that maybe it was an exaggeration. As they fix them, they have promised to provide the updated version. We came here with a hard drive. If the updated version is already, why not? We will pick it and still analyze, take it through the very analysis that we did.
Well, Dr. Mani Boama again is now, I mean, they are broadening the scope of the demand they are making of this. They've been making this, but they've been reiterating this at this IPAC meeting. Not only do they want a forensic audit of the voters register, they want the EC's entire IT system to be audited, because they say that if you fix the challenges like the EC is doing now and there's still a corrupt IT system, by the time it's November or close to election, these same challenges can recur.
When your roof is leaking, you can decide to mop, keep mopping, and keep mopping. Or you can decide to fix the leakage and mop. What we see here is mopping and mopping and mopping. Fixing the leakage is missing. And this is at the heart of our altruistic demand for a forensic audit. This forensic audit is not just about the register. When you have fixed the register as a result of our revelations, some aftermath fixing is providing a semblance of we are fixing it. When you fix it, and we all look at the hard copies, and we are all giving the PVR, the soft copies. In November, if the very criminals that got us here are still there, engaged in illegal transfers, we will come back to square one. And that time, it will be too close to the December 7 elections. We need to adopt a dichotomous approach. Look at the register, fix the issues in there, and also audit the very IT systems that allowed these anomalies to occur.
Cool. Finally, the EC now says all subsequent IPAC meeting will be broadcast live, and that's good for us, isn't it?
Well, yes. In fact, today, the first time cameras were allowed into this room, IPAC meeting, we got to know the kind of conversations that goes on in there. Madame Jean Mensah is assuring that between now and the election, and even beyond, they are going to make sure that all set meetings, IPAC and other crucial meetings that the Electoral Commission will be holding, is going to be beamed live to the entire nation to watch, because they are very much interested in transparency.
As part of the Commission's efforts to ensure transparency and accountability in all its processes, we have decided that this meeting and all subsequent IPAC meetings will be covered by the media. It is important to note at the very onset of today's meeting that we have made significant progress towards cleaning the provisional voters register and ridding it of discrepancies since it was first exhibited in all 40,000 plus exhibition centers across the country. Over the last few weeks, the Commission has employed tried and tested legal and administrative processes to clean the provisional register and rid it of discrepancies as envisaged by the framers of the 1992 Constitution and CI 91 as amended by CI 126.
Chairperson of the Electoral Commission there, Madam Jean Mensah. I'll be hearing from the NDC pretty shortly. We'll also hear from civil society groups represented today, now that they've had the Electoral Commission's evidence of what they've done to try and deal with the challenges with the register. Are they happy with what they've had, considering that 8 of the 10 political parties represented today all back the Electoral Commission's position, leaving the NDC and the PPP standing alone on this particular subject? We'll hear your thoughts after business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans. And coming up in business, government begins rolling out measures seeking to compensate farmers and the general public affected by the recent dry spell that hit parts of the country. An energy expert, Dr. Yusuf Suleiman, describes recent appraisal works on the Afena well as a major turnaround for Ghana's oil industry. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery Center Stangs and President Herbal and Charcoal.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaeje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHS, Kumase KNUSD Campus, UC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209 or 762792. Visit our website www.kingdomgh.com.
Yeah. We have a new leader in town, Obiara
Ntie amanfo meda mo se bebre wonim se mabey mebe mam more charcoal for whiter teeth
more charcoal
not only that mebe mam lemon
more lemon
zinc for fresher breath
more zinc
and fluoride for stronger teeth
introducing the new President Charcoal Pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth grab yours now this advert is FDA approved.
Luxurious affordable living is your right, and no one understands it better than BOT Properties. BOT Properties specializes in modern residential buildings and commercial office spaces. Our properties include the Equator, a 12-story made up of over 100 apartments near Accra Mall. At the Equator Courts, we offer you the deluxe living experience with our top-of-the-range homes, high-quality homes built with style and precision to suit your lifestyle. The Equator Courts is a gated community with two-story, four-bedroom detached houses at Ogbojo, East Legon, near American House. Our office complexes include Zion House, Shiashi, East Legon, Zion House, Sofa Line Interchange, Kumasi. Our offices and apartments are for both rental and outright purchases at affordable prices and with flexible payment terms. Kindly contact us on 0257-960-919 or visit botproperties.com. BOT Properties, the new meaning of affordable luxury.
This October, come and encounter Jesus in a way you've never experienced before. The Maker's House Chapel International presents Experience Conference 2024 under the theme Jesus. From 6th to 13th October, join us for a week of divine connection and spiritual renewal. Be transformed by powerful ministrations from anointed men of God, Pastor Jonathan Miller, Reverend Eastwood Anoba, Dr. Diony Bias, and your host, Dr. Michael Brady Nyamiche. The venue is the Destiny Arena of the Maker's House Chapel International, Hutchinson Atomic, Edison School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Weekday services start 6:30 p.m. and weekends 8 a.m. Experience Conference 2024. Don't just hear about it, be a part of it. Experience Jesus.
They're luckiest.
Star 712 Hush.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Welcome and now for four. A dial is star 712 hash and found no regrets. A side comma investors are a striking gold. A comma health workers are a diagnosis of luck with precision. A side comma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a comma passionate farmer on also ain't even containing a joy. A fake to the seamstresser or turning the hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a comma, if you say your next big win is right here.
Dial star 712 hash and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial star 712 hash to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with star 712 hash. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
star 712 hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, government has started rolling out a series of measures seeking to compensate farmers affected by the recent dry spell that hit parts of the country. Now, some of them include farm inputs, credit system, and an effective grain supply system. In the coming days, there'll be rollout for these farmers as well as food grant support. The Agric Minister, Dr. Brian Echampon, disclosed this during a media engagement earlier today.
To restore our food system and bridge the grain loss gap, we have this morning commenced the distribution of 118,000 metric tons of fertilizers and 5,133 metric tons of seeds to 800,000 smallholder farmers nationwide. The idea is to supply these inputs to farmers in the southern sector and the northern sector because the rainy season or the planting season for the southern sector just about started. 10th of October 2024, working through various poultry farmer associations nationwide, poultry farmers will be supported with feed and vaccines.
Agric Minister Dr. Brian Ichampong. Now, energy expert Dr. Yusuf Suleiman has described fresh works being carried out on the Afena oil well as a major turnaround for the country's oil industry. Exploration firm Springfield has announced that it will commence appraisal works on the Afena well around the Sankofa oil area. Now, Dr. Suleiman says that this initiative by Springfield could aid in fresh commercial oil production from that field in the coming months.
I think that is hugely several perspectives. I mean, for Ghana as a whole, for Springfield as a company, and even for ENI, unitization is a difficult thing, and you can't solve it within a twinkle of an eye. It requires credible data, and we should encourage Springfield to undergo such an exercise, because assuming the two fields are actually, you know, not communicating, first of all, it will give ENI the opportunity to have peace of mind to go about their business. Since 2017, ENI has not done any investment, and the reason being that they were not sure of what's going on, whether the field belongs to them or at the end of the day, whether it doesn't belong to them.
Energy expert Dr. Yusuf Suleiman. Now, mining expert and chairman of the opposition National Democratic Congress Manifesto Committee on Mining, Dr. Tony Obeng, has expressed confidence that Ghana could get more benefits
from
natural resources. Now, speaking at the civil society organization meeting with political parties on energy and the extractive sector, Dr. Obeng suggested that the current system is outmoded, hence the need for a review.
There are occurrences of minerals around us, which is also, I don't know whether it's a curse or it's a blessing, but we don't know the relative quantities, relative locations, and as a country we need to know. It is with that we can actually negotiate better deals for concessioning these resources. So we need to even map them. In the manifesto, I think there's a team actively working on implementation plan already, as Kwame said. And so the specifics are there. I know some of the draft, we put specifics there, but then they were taken out because that should be part of implementation plan.
Mining expert and chairman of the opposition National Democratic Congress Manifesto Committee on Mining, Dr. Tony Obeng. Australia's High Commissioner to Ghana, Bernice Owen Jones, has underscored the importance of security for mining companies operating in Ghana to prevent extremists from invading their areas. She believes that this is one of the surest measures to deal with the challenges facing the sector in the country. She made the call at the opening ceremony of the West African Mining Security Conference held in Accra today.
The West Africa Mining Security Conference is taking place today. It's the fourth edition. It's hosted by the Australian High Commission. It is now, I would say, an international conference, and it provides a forum to share best security practices and contingency planning.
Australia's High Commissioner to Ghana, Bernice Owen Jones. Now, Petrosol Ghana has reiterated its commitment to ensure the delivery of quality petroleum products to consumers. Speaking to Joy Business, Chief Executive of Petrosol, Michael Bosombo, noted that the company will continue to deliver quality products and services to its consumers. He spoke to other Petrosol Ghana Energizing Dreams promotion, which is aimed at resolving or rewarding patrons of the amazing prices after the purchase of fuel products from the 1st of October to the 1st of March 2025.
As we celebrate our 10th anniversary, we thought that it is important that we appreciate our customers. We show gratitude. And so this promo is intended to energize our customers. We are saying energize because we know that we are in a very challenging time because of high cost of living. And so this is the time as a brand that we too should get close to our customers and support them.
Michael Bosombil is the chief executive of Petrosol Ghana.
And George, thank you very much. And Mr. Cranton is here with sports.
Let's go straight into the stories. And the Confederation of African Football is expected to make a decision on the eligibility of the Accra and Cape Coast Stadia in the coming days ahead of next week's AFCON qualifier against Sudan. Ghana looks set to host Sudan away from home after CAF had earlier withdrawn approval from the Babayaro Stadium, leaving Ghana without a single standard stadium to host Category C games. However, CAF inspectors were in Ghana over the weekend to inspect both the Accra and Cape Coast Stadia at the request of the Sports Ministry, and Joy Sports sources confirmed the game will now be hosted in Ghana. Away from that, there will be UEFA Champions League Match Day 2 live commentary on Hits 103.9 FM from 7 p.m. Featured game is between Arsenal and PSG. Thomas Partey starts that game for Arsenal. That's all for sports. Back to Evans.
Thank you very much, Kranting, for that. And we've been talking a lot today about the Electoral Commission's meeting with the political parties at IPAC, the historic meeting that allowed for live coverage. As we know, the NDC today sat through the presentation by the Electoral Commission. They presented the evidence. I want to bring in Tanko Rashid Computa. He is the Deputy Director of Elections with the party. He joins us on the line right now. Tell me, you've seen the evidence provided by the Electoral Commission today as to what they've done to fix the issues with the register. What next for the NDC, though?
Very well. Let me say good evening to your cherished listeners. We would be issuing a statement any moment from now about our next line of action. It won't be long. You would have the statement. But to just put it bluntly, we stand vindicated after the presentation by the Electoral Commission IT director or consultant, they want to call him, for having admitted to almost all the grievances that we got from the provisional register. And clearly, they demonstrated that all that they have done clearly was based on what the NDC has been talking about, and that they have taken time to correct that. And because of that, they are going to do what is called a re-exhibition. Of course, we asked of that. We talked about the re-exhibition of the register. We've also talked about the issue of their IT system, of which today they also agree that their IT system is vulnerable and is susceptible to all manner of attack from within and without. And so all these things put together will say that the NDC stands vindicated, and we will follow up with the provisional register as they indicated will be given to political parties.
So you're happy?
We are not saying we are happy. The issue is that we want the right thing to be done, and that we are saying that all that they have done, until we get hold of the supposed new revised provisional register, for us to restudy it and be sure that whatever they are saying in there, that's one leg of it. The second leg is the IT system, of which we will pursue an agenda of investigation to find out the root cause of all that problems, which the IT director admitted.
Okay. And we've heard that today. We're waiting for that statement from the NDC. Dr. Tanko Rashid, thank you very much. And Fosti, the National Science and Maths Quiz is back.
Indeed, it is back, and 157 schools are gearing up to battle it out for academic glory at the 31st edition of the National Science and Maths Quiz Competition, Evans, as it heads to the Central Region for the first time. Well, speaking at the launch, Managing Director of Primetime Limited, Nanoke Amensa, revealed that this year's contest has the highest number of participating schools ever, making it a fine brain fest of epic proportions.
That we've ever had at the national championship.
Wow.
157 schools at the national championship. That's a whole lot.
That's a lot.
Accra Girls has qualified this time. They haven't been at the national championships for a while, maybe about 8 years or something like that. And Fantiman also is back.
Fantiman is back, St. Thomas Aquinas is back, St. Rose's is back. You went to St. Rose's, yeah. Did you know that, Adobia? Faustina is with me. Faustina, which school is it?
Government Day Secondary School.
What? Government Day Secondary School.
Yeah.
Where's that?
That's in Abuja, Nigeria.
Oh, you're making this up.
No. I'm actually serious.
Government Day Secondary School.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that one of the good schools or so?
Well, it's Saito, but we had five brains
Saito
there.
Saito in Nigeria. Goodness. Arifia is joining us right now with Geek Squad. What are you talking about tonight?